Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
So it's always great to begin a new series, and it's the beginning of the month, and so we're going to be starting this new series over the next couple of weeks called Dependent. And we're going to take a look at a few different psalms this month as we look at and how we can be thankful to God. You know, it's natural for us to think in the month of November that we think of giving thanks, and that's something that we want to use an opportunity over the next several weeks to really focus on giving thanks to God for the things that He has done in our lives. And I've noticed that many people have done this, and you've probably seen this on your social media feeds as well, is that every day people say something that they're thankful for. And so I, you know, encourage you, if you don't necessarily want to put that on social media, I wouldn't tell you to do that, but maybe every day you just write in a journal or make a note, say something that you're thankful to God for. It is a natural time, but we shouldn't be thankful just in the month of November. We should be thankful every day of the entire year. But specifically, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at how we can give thanks to God and how we can be thankful to God for all that He has done, to be dependent on Him. Because having a thankful heart doesn't mean just thanking God in the good times. It's natural, and I would say that it is appropriate that we thank God when life is going great, when we can look at our family and our friends, our relationships, and look at our checking account, and man, things are great, things are good, and we thank God for those times. I believe it is very appropriate that we thank God in good times of our lives, but I believe we should also thank God in the dry seasons, in the difficult times. When we're standing on the mountaintop or we're in the valley or you're in between, that we're thankful to God for all He has done and all He is doing. But how can we be thankful, or how should we respond in those difficult times or in those dry seasons or in those difficult times in our lives? Well, let's take a look today at Psalm 107. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Your Bible app, Psalm 107. If not, we'll have it up on the screen for you as well. We're going to read a couple verses here in Psalm 107 as we look at this idea of being dependent on God, and specifically giving thanks to God through our times and through the different seasons in our lives. Psalm chapter 107, starting at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Nope, I'm not singing, I promise. It's a verse in the Bible. Wow, we actually sing those songs. That's where that comes from. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Hey, that's another good one. Those that, you get it. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those He gathered from the lands, from the east and the west and the north and the south. Some have wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their darkness, from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, and broke away their chains. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot going on there, but there's a couple things that I want to pull from this. You see, the key to this passage is that God is willing. God is willing to restore those who call on Him. God is willing to restore and to bring through those who are willing to call on His name through a variety of situations and circumstances. We see, look at a few that are mentioned, that God comes through for those that are wandering, those that are just going, traveling from place to place, and God comes through. We see people that are going through self-inflicted pain, and God comes through. We see those that are going through blatant rebellion, and God comes through. See, I believe there's something that we need to take a look at, something in plain sight, that God continues to help His people only after we acknowledge our circumstances and called upon Him. that God will come through. God will meet us where we are when we are willing to call on him. No matter what situation, no matter how we have arrived, but when we're willing to call on his name. Look at verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he said, go away from me. Nope, that's not what it says. You guys are just No, that's not what it says. And he delivered them from their distress. God didn't say, get behind me, I don't know you. He delivered them. They called out in their trouble, and he delivered. Everybody say that word, delivered. God wants and even expects us to call on him. God desires this relationship that we have, that it's not just a one-way relationship, but that we would call out on him, that he wants us to be dependent on him. God wants and even expects us to ask for help. Asking for help. That can be a challenging one, can't it? If you're in a store and you don't know where that product, that thing that you're looking for, and asking for help can be a challenge for a couple of reasons. One, it can be difficult because does anybody work in the stores anymore? Like, there's one person working and that's it, and you're trying to find, hello, is anybody in here? Or you can actually find somebody, but you don't ask for help. All right, how many of you are going to be willing and daring enough to admit that that's been you before, that you haven't asked for help? Come on, we're in church. All right, where are all the guys' hands at? Every man, your hand should be up here. I don't know why, but it is difficult for us to ask for help. I'll figure it out on my own. I know this store. I've been in Lowe's 50 million times. I know where everything's at. Nope. Where is this thing? I can't find it. Well, just ask somebody for help. No, I'll get it. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Every aisle. And then my wife gently, without me knowing, goes and asks somebody, and then she comes back. It's over here. Okay. Why is it so difficult to ask for help? Why is it so difficult for us to ask for help? For men, I think it is a little bit more difficult for women, but I think we all, at some point in time, we fall into that category, whether we're at a store, whether we're facing something difficult in our lives, that we don't ask for help. And I think one of the reasons why is because pride builds up in our hearts. Pride builds up in our lives that we think that we can figure it out, that I know better than the people that work in the store for a living. I know better than they do. I know where it's at. I don't have to ask for help. It's pride that I can figure it out, that me. The focus is on ourselves. When using the case of asking for help in the store would have saved me a whole lot of time and a whole lot of frustration if I would just simply ask for help. But again, that's an area of pride. It's an area that's something we must be willing to get rid of in our lives. But going beyond that into the bigger and deeper things in our lives, that we should be able to ask for help and go to God and ask for his help. Rather than trying to figure it out on ourselves, or rather than just trying to wrestle with ourselves, but ask God, I need your help. Instead of wandering, going from place to place, but say, God, I need your help. You know, as I'm reading through this, I'm wondering, if they would have asked God sooner, would he have answered them sooner? If they would have just went and asked at the beginning, God, we don't know what to do, wouldn't that have saved them a whole lot of time? We don't know for certain, but it sure would not hurt to ask. That God ultimately provided for them. He met their need. Pride can keep us from going through difficult trials and difficult seasons in our lives simply by calling out to God, asking for help. We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to fix everything on our own. That God is willing to help us. There are times that we go through wandering seasons or dry seasons and we don't know why. Perhaps it's because we're being self-sufficient and not leaning on God, thinking that we can do life on our own terms and we can figure it all out. I don't need anybody else's help. God, I love you, but I got this figured out. Pride can be crippling, and the result can lead to a fear of not asking for help or being able to ask for help. See, when we get in the habit of not asking for help, or we get into the allow pride to build up into our lives, there's a danger that we do the same thing with our relationship with God. If we're unwilling to ask people for help on a personal level, then when our walk with God and we need God's help, then that may build up in our relationship with Him, where we're not willing to go to Him or ask Him for help when we need it. There's an interesting article that I read. And the author, you know, it was all around the concept of why is it so difficult to ask a question? Now, this wasn't a man, this was a woman, so you know, I know women face this issue as well. And she goes on to say this. She says that I had created this life of self-sufficiency, and people I surrounded myself with were takers. There came a point when I needed their help, and they disappeared. I said, I need to change my life. I need to be comfortable giving and taking. You see, if we're not careful, we will surround ourselves with people that will just take, because that's who we are. But when we need something, there is nobody to be found. We need to be comfortable asking people for help. We need to be comfortable going to God in times of trouble, and not even just times of trouble, but just on a daily basis, to go to God to provide for our every need. If not, then we're creating this relationship where it's just take, and that is out of balance. We need to be able to be and understand our relationship with God is that He wants to provide for us. He wants to give to us, but if we become self-sufficient, then when trouble happens or we don't know how to ask the question. The great thing about our relationship with God and something we should be thankful for is that God is never going to hold anything over our heads. And perhaps this is one of the reasons why we don't often ask for help, is because we're afraid that if we do ask for help, then that person is going to then use that as something to hold over our head. Well, if I ask for help, then that means in a couple of months when something happens, then they're going to remember, I helped you here, okay. And we feel guilted into doing something. And so, nope, I'm not going to ask for help because I don't want to be put in that situation. We don't have to worry about God turning something on us or holding something over our head. He wants to help us. He's not going to hold it as a debt that we owe to Him. Our relationship, we're dependent on Him, and He will not turn that back against us. We have a relationship with God that He wants this two-way relationship for us to lean and depend on Him. There are things that we just simply cannot do on our own. There are things that we cannot do with our own hands. We were singing just a few minutes ago about a miracle to happen. And there are miracles that only God can do. There are things that only God can do, and we have to trust Him and be dependent that He is going to fix that. He is going to meet that need. But when we built this life and we surround ourselves in these walls of pride, not willing to ask for help, then we're not being dependent on God anymore. We're being dependent on ourselves. We have to take down the walls of pride in our lives and our heart and reach out to God for help. Reach out to others for help. If there's a pain, a hurt, an unforgiveness, whatever it is, don't let pride stand in your way from asking for help. From saying, I need help, I need God to, you need to help in this situation, I can't do it on my own. Or reach out to other people and say, I need your help, I need other God-fearing people to reach out and to help me in this situation. That maybe God is going to speak through somebody else into your life or situation. Reaching out to God means that we're showing a dependency on somebody other than ourselves. We see clearly that God is faithful to His people. To the ones bound by the enemy, God was faithful. To the wanderers, God was faithful. Even to the rebellious, God was faithful. There are times that we are going to face difficulties. There are times we're going to go through challenging seasons of our lives. I've said this and I've taught this time and time again. Nowhere do I read in the Bible that God says that your life is going to be a bed full of roses. You're never going to experience any problems. And I'm sorry if anybody preaches anything other than that, run, because that is setting you up for failure. Life is going to come at you and it's going to come at you hard, but it's how you stand through that matters. And if you understand that things are going to happen, but my God, I can hold on to Him, then I don't have to worry. That's what my Bible says. that I'm dependent on him for everything that I have need of. We are going to go through challenging times. We are going to go through difficult times, and some of those are going to be a result of our own mistakes. God, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Well, because I messed up. I made a mistake. There are things that we suffer through, and it's not God's fault. God's not putting us through anything. The devil's not doing anything to us. It's a result of our own actions, our own sinful actions. Think of David. Man, David had a heart after God, but he did some pretty bad stuff. He sinned. I mean, think about David and Bathsheba. God has been with you your entire life. You have everything. You have a kingdom in front of you. But yet here's a woman that you want, and then you from one bad decision to another, to another, to another. But that didn't mean God turned his back on him. That didn't mean God got rid of him. But there were consequences to his actions. God didn't just put these things on David. David did it. There were the things that he went through out of response of his own mistakes. There are times that we are going to suffer. We're going to go through things because of the consequences of our own sins. Trials, difficulties, things are going to happen beyond our control. But then there are things that are going to happen because we've done them. But even in that, God is faithful to us. Even in our own mistake where God could say, hey, deal with it. That's your own consequence, deal with it. He's still faithful to us. We can have the comfort and knowledge of knowing that his mercy extends to the depths of whatever issue we're facing. Trials, life, things are going to happen. Look at James. I mean, it talks about the difficulties and trials that we're going to face, but they help refine us. The wordage, the vocabulary used in Psalm 107 uses words like wasteland, hunger and thirst, distress and iron chains. That doesn't paint the prettiest of picture, does it? It may seem very odd, but these are the very things that made people dependent and thankful to God. They made them thankful because of his intervention. They made him thankful because once they cry out, he was there. They wandered in the wilderness, becoming homeless and hungry on the verge of death. But what did they do? They finally cried out to God, and what did he do? Sorry, pal. No, he intervened. God delivered them. He fed them physically, spiritually, and they were able to look back at their time when they had nothing and were thankful to God for what he had done, for what he had got them through. You know, it's easy for us to take things for granted, right? It's easy for us to take the car that we drove here for granted. It's easy for us to sit in this beautiful building and take it for granted when there are people around the world that have so much less than we do. I read a story about Christians in North Korea. Now, understand this. I mean, we are free to come and go and worship God however we choose and however we please. And yet in North Korea, you can, you know, be put in jail for having a Bible. Even just having one page of scripture, you can be thrown into jail. So what these believers do is they go out on their boat, and all the fishermen are like, amen, right there, that's God's country right there. So they go out on their boats, and they take their Bible, and I say not Bibles, Bible, and they take the Bible, and they go and have church in their boats in the river. So no one from the government knows what's going on. So they can't gather in a place like this. So what do? Let's get on some boats, go in the river, and have church. There's a sermon in there, let me tell you. But even beyond that, that they are willing to risk their lives just so they can read the Bible and come together and have church. And one of them or a few of them have to be on lookout that if any other boats, it could be somebody from the government. And if they do come, they'll confiscate their Bibles. And then two, they'll all be thrown in jail. We take for granted that we have this freedom today. That we can have a Bible to read. That we can download 15 apps on our phone, different versions of the Bible. We take for granted a lot of things for the daily necessities that God gives to us. had an interesting conversation with a guy a few months ago who cut my hair. And you know, it's very interesting. And I believe I've shared this on a Wednesday night before at our life group. But when you tell people you're a pastor, they change. They put on who they want to be. Okay, so you sit down, have a conversation, you know, and this primarily happens when I'm getting my hair cut. And so I have these conversations, and hey, what do you do? You know, what do you do for a living? And I have this momentary thought. Do I tell them the truth, or do I skirt around the truth? Now, the reason why I do that is because I want people to be real with me. Because far too many times, people say, what do you do? And I say, I'm a pastor. Then all their language changes, their stories change, and then they just stop talking. So I'm like, okay, I'm a pastor here in town. He said, okay, that's awesome, that's great. He's like, would you pray for my barbershop? Would you pray for us? I'm like, absolutely I will. And he's like, and will you pray for my hands? And it caught me off guard. I'm like, excuse me, pray for your hands? Why? He said, because this is what God has blessed me with, to provide for my family, to put food on the table. And I pray every day over my hands. And will you pray for my hands that I can continue to provide for my family? I went, oh my gosh, what a simple yet amazing prayer. That he is thankful for his hands. That he is not taking his hands for granted. And I began to go, God, how many things do I take for granted in my life? Things that you have blessed me with to meet my daily needs. And so now what I pray for is I pray for my voice. Because it's hard to do what I do and not be able to verbally communicate. It seems like such a simple prayer, but it is profound that we take things for granted. We take the cars that get us to our job. We complain about our jobs, but at least we have a job and we've got a car that can take us there. We take for granted the food that we have. It may not be the best food, but at least it's food. That we are dependent on God for everything that we have need of. So many times we just take all of this for granted. But God is the one that has provided for all of it. God is the one that has provided every single one of our needs, the big and the small and everyone in between. It's amazing that God created and God has given us everything. And he says in his word that, you know, we're to keep 90% of it and give 10% back. He could have easily said, you know what? The rules are changed. I'm going to give you keep 50 and give 50 to me. I created it all, right? I mean, that would only be fair. But he says, no. You can trust me so much that you can have the 90% and live by faith for that 10%. And I have seen that play out in my whole life, that every time that I am faithful to God, he is so much more faithful to me, that I never have to worry about it. That's how good, how amazing it is when I say, I'm going to not be dependent on me, I'm going to be dependent on you. It's important that we thank God for the things that he has gotten us through, for the times that he has allowed us to go through difficulties. But it's important that we not just thank God when we've gone through it, but thank God while we're in it. It's important that we give thanks God in it, not just for it. It's easy. It is easy to look back and go, God, thank you so much for supplying. Thank you so much for getting me through that time. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. And that is our should-be response. But what do we do when we're in the middle of it going, I don't know how I'm going to get over there, but God, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to thank you for it because I know you're going to get me over there. How can I have that confidence? How can I have that assurance? Because I see in his word, that's what he's going to do. He wants us to be dependent on him to meet every single one of our needs. We don't just thank God when he's gotten us through something, but we thank him when we're in the middle of it. Not just giving thanks for God what he has done, but what he is going to do. You've probably heard me pray that prayer. If you've been around the church any length of time, you've probably heard me pray that prayer. God, I thank you for what you're going to do. Because I know I have seen him time and time again. I read it in his word that he is going to come through. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know all the details, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're going to come through. That we're going to give you thanks in this season, in this time. Life is tough. Life is hard. There's struggles that we're going to face, and some of those are because it's our own fault. Because of our own rebellion, our own willingness to disobey what God's word says. But we shouldn't take for granted God's mercy and just cry out in times of desperation. And then when he rescues us, go back to our old ways. We should be thankful to him that he continues to deliver us. And it's our goal and our hope and our challenge to continue moving further. Not take this relationship for granted and go, okay, God, you got me through that again. Thank you so much. Now I'm just going to go back into it. And I'm just going to go back into it. But God, thank you for delivering me from that. Now that's in my past. I thank you for that. Now I'm moving forward. That we just don't keep going and taking it for granted. No matter how we come into a difficult time, God's going to bring us out. If we call out to him. If we are willing to call out to him. You see, the calling out is the acknowledgement of our dependency on him. The calling out to him is saying, God, I am saying I can no longer do this on my own, but I am dependent on you. I am calling out. I am crying out to you because I can't do it on my own. I can't do it with my own strength, with my own two hands. That I am dependent on you, and I am thankful that you're going to see me through it. We have to acknowledge our dependency on him. I want to finish with this quote this morning. Charles Spurgeon, he makes this quote, and it just stood out to me. It said, if hunger brings us to our knees, it is more useful to us than feasting. If thirst drives us to the fountain, it is better than the deepest droughts of worldly joys. And if fainting leads to crying, it is better than the strength of the mighty. Now, why do I share that with you? Why would I pick that one quote out? Go back to the very first sentence. If hunger brings us to our knees, it is more useful to us than feasting. If God is going to put us in a situation where we are hungering for more of God and it brings us to our knees, that is more useful to me in my life than any feast I can enjoy. I believe that God is calling us to a time where we need to be on our knees more and more, that we need to stop being self-dependent and more dependent on him. God's mercy is so abundant. God's mercy is so abounding, and I believe we take it for granted far too often, that it is so great that we stop being dependent on him and being dependent on ourselves. God's calling that we call out to him. He's, stop focusing on yourself. Bring down the walls of pride and lean in on me. If you're going through a relationship issue, go to God. Don't try to just fix it on your own. Go to God. Go to somebody else and say, we need help. Get the pride out of your lives. If you're going through a financial situation and the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, do something else. How about calling out to God? Go to somebody who has a solid walk with God and say, help me with my finances. That is saying, I am dependent on God because I can't do it on my own. In your personal walk with God, maybe there are struggles that you're going through and say, stop trying to do it on your own. Be dependent on him. And maybe the reason why you're going through a difficult time is because it's time to hunger a little bit. It's time to get on your knees and to hunger and thirst for him and lean on him. A thankful heart is a dependent heart. All across the room, if you would, close your eyes and bow your heads. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I've been a little bit too dependent on myself. Guess what the great news is? God says, I'm here. All you have to do is cry out to me. All you have to do is call out to me. If you're facing a challenge, if you're going through a difficult time, just call out to him. Say, God, I need you to move. I need you to intervene. You may be where you're at because of a difficult, even bad decisions in your life. God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't abandoned you. He's right beside you. He will get you through that. He's going to see you through it. Be thankful to him. Have a thankful heart that we have a God who loves and cares for us. That no matter what we're going through, he is there. He just wants us to be dependent on him. There are so many examples throughout the Word of God where individuals, people, groups say, God, we've got it covered. We don't need your help. And look where that leads them. But when they turn to God, look what happens. He is the one that is there. He's the one that restores. He's the one that provides. And maybe today you've been a little bit self-reliant, been too dependent on yourself. Say, God, today I give it over to you. I thank you, God, that I can cry out to you. Lord, I pray for every person here today that if it's an issue of pride, that we would remove the walls of pride, that we would remove that from our lives and trust in you. Stop doing things on our own terms, but do them on your terms. That we would be dependent on you. You are so great. You are so wonderful. We commit our hearts and our lives to you, God. May we as a body of believers be dependent on you. Not on any one person, anything, but just on you and you alone. That you will see us through any situation, but we will be thankful on the other side, but we're going to be thankful in the middle of it. Because we know ultimately, you are with us.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.